Hi everyone, welcome back to Reflections. My name is Nadine Tim, and as always, I am your host. In today's episode, we will be having a special guest. His name is Emmanuel Sisko. He is an author, he's an entrepreneur, he's a speaker, and I have had the opportunity to work with Sisko as well on one of his campaigns, which was focused on inspiring and supporting the growth of young people in Ghana. Sisko has a very interesting story, and that is why I decided to have him on this episode to talk about the mindset of young people in Africa. Hi Sisko, welcome to today's episode. Tell us more about you, your background, and what you currently do. You can also tell us how you got to where you are today.
All right, Nadine, thank you very much for having me on the show. I've been waiting for this moment and I'm finally here. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you very much for having me again.
Thank you.
I came to this country, Ghana, about 20 years ago. Exactly
that's
today.
That's nice.
Exactly today, I came to Ghana 20 years ago. And the first picture of the world that was introduced to me as a child was a picture of complete violence and anarchy. While some parents in Ghana and other parts of the world were helping their children to get through school peacefully, somewhere in Liberia, my mother in the early 1990s was helping me to jump over dead bodies and dodge bullets so that at least I could stay alive. By the special grace of God, while the civil war in Liberia was threatening dreams and aborting lives, I managed to escape and found my way to Ghana. And in Ghana, I spent a significant portion of my youthful years at a refugee camp. That's the Buduban refugee camp for Liberian refugees.
Yeah.
Many nights on the Buduban refugee camp, Nadine, I went to bed on empty stomach and woke up every morning with only hope for the future.
That's such a difficult thing for a young person at your age to have to go through. Wow.
It was very, very bad, very, very terrible, very terrible experience. But just imagine if getting food was such a big challenge for a teenage refugee boy like me, getting education. Imagine how getting education be. So in spite of the challenges that I had, in spite of the frustrations, the difficulties, I was able to graduate from one of the top institutions of higher learning in the country. That's the Ghana Institute of Management and Public Administration, GIMPA. Yeah. Where I graduated as best student BSc Economics 2013 as an Albert Einstein Daffy Scholar.
Wow.
That was in the year 2013. After that, I published my first book in the year 2015 with the First Hope Campaign. And that was when I first brought together the Hope Campaign, the First Hope Campaign team of 30 passionate young people from 8 different African countries, which was relaunched in 2019, where you were also part of.
Yes, I was a part of the campaign.
As one of the two teammates from Cameroon. Yeah, that was in 2019 when I published my second book, Cracking the Empowerment Code. And then from that point, in 2017, I also had the opportunity to be filmed. The German government did a documentary on my story, which was featured alongside other refugee success stories from around the world at one of the Saarland meetings during the 72nd UN General Assembly in New York. And that actually opened some other doors for me.
Yeah.
And ushered me to bigger opportunities, bigger things. And from that point, 2019, I wrote the second book. I launched it, and I've mentioned that. And currently, by the special grace of God, I serve as marketing manager for one of the oil companies in Ghana. And I also currently speak and write. Why I do some other form of business at the same time. So currently that is what I'm doing. But last year, last two years, we ended the Hope campaign.
Yeah.
That was, because the goal of the Hope campaign was to inspire and empower at least 10,000 young people mm-hmm. across Ghana by the end of 2020.
I mean, your story is one that inspires me on a daily basis. Coming from Liberia to Ghana as a refugee with no family, you're by yourself trying to figure things out. What kept you going? What is the one thing that helped you get to the place you are at right now?
There are a lot of things that really pushed me to do what I do.
Yeah.
To be honest, one of the reasons why I do what I do, it's because of the people that will be looking up to me, people that will be listening to my story, reading my books, and
yes.
wanting to be inspired to make a difference in society, make a difference in our generation, be a blessing and not a burden to society. And when I think about these people, I want to do my best to produce the best results. And then when I think about how my mother sacrificed for us, when I think about the pain my mother went through to provide for me and my siblings, I want to make her proud of her pain. And that's one of my inspiration. So one of the things I never told you about, probably because I might not have the time to talk about everything. I don't say this to boast about anything. I always say this to glorify God and just to inspire somebody.
Yeah.
Through my academic experience from kindergarten in Liberia to the university in Ghana, I have never been second in any class before in my entire academic life.
Wow.
That is not to say that I'm very intelligent. Far from yeah. that, I'm not. Because I've been in class with very intelligent people, but by the mm-hmm. special grace of God, every class I've ever sat in, I'm always at the top. And the inspiration behind that is the fact that when I think about how illiterate my mother is, I want to be as educated as I can be. So thinking about my mother and thinking about the people that will benefit from the inspiration that I have to provide, the kind of hope that I bring to the world, these things keep driving me to do what I do.
That's so amazing. I mean, I've had many conversations with you. And even when I did the last episode of this podcast, we talked about education in Africa and some of the challenges we face. And in one of my conversations with you some years back, I think you mentioned that whilst you were in the refugee camp, others, when they got a little bit of money, they would buy clothes, they would buy other things, and you would buy books. And
that's
that surprised
right.
me, right? Now you're an author, you're writing books yourself. But
that's right.
Why would you buy books when you're just trying to survive? You know, why did other things not matter to you as much as they did to young boys, especially at your age?
That's a very nice question. You see, it's about learning. It's really about learning. If you are willing to learn now, then it means that you are preparing to earn tomorrow.
Wow.
So for those who are not earning today, you have to look at what you are not learning. You understand? There's a connection between your learning and your earning. How much you've learned will determine how much you can earn in society. Earning is not just in the monetary term, in terms of the kind of income you make, but in terms of the level of impact you are able to make. So if you are not earning anything now, you don't have to worry. Just keep learning something more, because learning is just the beginning of earning. But if you refuse to learn enough, you have no right to earn enough.
Wow.
So how much you learn tomorrow will merely de- how much you learn today will really determine how much you earn tomorrow. That is the point I'm trying to make. So I always tell people we need to pay more attention to our library than our wardrobe. And what makes you attractive and even valuable in this 21st century is the information you put in you, not the dress you put on you.
That's so true.
More valuable and attractive in the 21st century, you need to pay more attention to your library than your wardrobe. That was the mindset I had at the refugee camp. And that was what I was telling the young people around me at that point. And most of them didn't believe that. But when they saw the transformation over the years, they started to buy into that idea. Because when you put the right thing in you, everything around you and against you will definitely change for you.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, you're a great example. Your life actually just exemplifies that. And that leads me to my next question, which is, why is it so important to have the right mindset? And is there any such thing as the right mindset?
That is a very powerful question. There is actually the need to have the right mindset. And actually there is a right mindset. Because your success in life actually depends on the kind of mindset you have. It doesn't depend on your background. It doesn't depend on who your parents are, where you stand in society, maybe financially or socially in society. It depends on your mindset. You understand it? There is this concept, there's this law we call the law of attraction. I think you might have heard about the law of attraction, very popular. The law of attraction says you are a living magnet and you inevitably attract into your life the people, the circumstances, ideas, and resources in harmony with your dominant thought. What that means is what you think about constantly and consistently, you are able to attract into your life. So it means that you cannot attract the right opportunities with the wrong attitude. Mindset. That is the wrong mindset. If your attitude is wrong, nothing can ever be right in your life. So you really need to have the right attitude to have the right opportunities created or created for you. You understand? So there is a need to have the right mindset, and there's actually something we call the right mindset, which is the right attitude.
You are someone that came from a really difficult background and had to go through a really difficult time, but in the same way you've been able to take that opportunity of life that you had and you've made the most out of it. And one thing you always say is like, don't allow your background to put your back on the ground. Now to the African youth who is thinking, oh, it's, you know, I was born into this country, the systems don't work, my government is failing me, this and that. You know, we give a lot of excuses, right? But how can the mindset of young people in Africa shape the future of Africa?
You see, when people fail in life, they fail because of obstacles and challenges.
Yeah.
And when people succeed in life, they succeed in spite of obstacles and challenges. So when I was at a camp, for example, people will ask all sort of questions and they're making excuses. They'll be making excuses and all of that. But this is one thing I will tell you at this point. When we're doing the documentary for the German government.
Yes.
That moment, when it came, I think they came with about six member crew with their cars and all of that from my house to my office. They were filming and doing all of that. I saw the drone flying as I was driving to work that morning. Yes. And people were, the camera was all set and they were recording and all of that. And at that point, something happened. There was a question that hit me so hard, like, where were all these people? I started thinking to myself, where were all these cameras when I was struggling, when I was starving at the Budubura refugee camp? Where were the cameras? They should have started doing this documentary from that point.
Exactly.
Where were the cameras? And then when I asked that question, there's something just calmed me down. And I think it was God speaking to me and said, you see, Cisco, the world is not really interested in you. The world is interested in your story. It is your story that will give God his glory. If you have not been through a mess in your life, no one will ever trust your message. Wow. You understand? So it is your story that gave God his glory. They're not interested in you. They are interested in your story. So if you are able to make meaningful, good use of the experience and bring something good out of the experiences, the camera will always come looking for you. That was just, by the way, those were some of the thoughts that hit me. This is what I want to talk about. The African youth and this mindset of dependency and comfort. Let me just put it like, because it's something all in one. We are too comfortable on our bed. That is one thing I've realized. We are too comfortable on our bed. You know, the bed represents a place of comfort, right?
Yes.
It really represents a place of comfort. In the morning, you don't want to wake up from bed because it feels too comfortable being there, but you have to wake up. So, but the bed that I'm talking about is an acronym that stands for B. The B is for blaming other people. Nadine, this is something that I think the African youth really need to. We blame people, not just the African youth, we take it from leadership. For example, like COVID and the Ukraine war and all of these things, experiences that the world is experiencing.
Yes.
Not that only African countries are experiencing these things. You understand the effects of these things. But they will blame everything in the country on these experiences, external factors. Everything.
That's true.
If the economy is not doing well, it is because of Ukraine and Russia war. If the economy is very slow, it's because of the COVID experience we all went through. Do you understand it? The same thing applies to our individual lives in Africa. We blame people. You see, at the camp, when I was at the refugee camp, at a point, everything was so difficult for me. The only thing I found easy to do was to blame everybody. I blame God. I blame the Ghana government. I blame my country. I blame my parents for even allowing me to be born. I blame everything. You understand it? You see, but when we stop blaming people for where we are in life, we take responsibility for our actions and everything, the results we are having, our life will change. So it's the B. Take the B and stop blaming people. We take the E and stop making excuses. Excuses are very comfortable, Nadine. But you see, no matter how valid your excuses are, they will never improve your life.
That's so.
If you really want to do something, you will always find a way to do it. But if you don't really want to do that thing, you will always find an excuse. Excuses are very comfortable. So we're always making excuses. Leaders are always making excuses. The citizens are always making excuses. And all of these things keep us where we are today. So that's the E in the word bed. And the D is for dependency. People are really depending on other people for their success, their survival and success in life. Nations, leaders, presidents are depending on other nations for their survival and their well-being. And the same way, citizens are depending on their politicians for their survival and success in life.
Yes.
You see, success is not a matter of condition. Success is a matter of decision. When you change your decision, your condition will change. This is why the wise people will always say, Nadine, please listen to this. The wise people will always say, you were born looking like your parents, but you will eventually die looking like your decisions. you understand it?
I understand.
It's about your decision. Your parents brought you into the world, but you are responsible for who you become. And who you become depends on your decision, decision you are making. So when you fail in life, you don't blame God. You don't blame your parents, because you have the right and you have the opportunity to make the right decisions. So get out of the bed. Stop blaming people. Stop making excuses. Stop depending on people. You understand me? So this applies to African youth and African leaders in general.
Now I just want you to give us one last thing to talk about, one thing that you wish you would have known or you would have done differently. Because I know no powerful journey, there's no journey that doesn't have, challenges along the way. What's one thing that you wish you did differently as a young person, And also, what is one thing, one last advice that you would give to, just in general, that you would give to African young people?
Okay. If I were to go back into the past and change something about my life,
yes,
that would definitely be connecting with the right people early.
Okay.
Yes, because the company we keep determines who we are,
yes,
or who we become eventually. You understand? That's what the wise people say. Your network determines your net worth in life.
Yes.
So I would have gone back to really connect with the right people, spend quality time with the right people. Then some of the people I spend some of my time with, I think that's one thing I would have really loved to correct. But thank God I'm here and I can do that now. Because it's all about networking. We really need to network.
Yes.
There's a Zulu proverb that says, a person is a person because of people.
Yes.
In other words, you are who you are because of the number and caliber of people you have in your network. You understand
so
that?
True. Yes.
So you really need to connect with the right people, and that will really put you into the kind of future you want as early as possible.
So what is your advice to the African youth?
The African youth, you see, we have this mindset of sabotaging people when we're supposed to be supporting.
Yes.
Where we're supposed to support, we rather sabotage each other. Where we're supposed to collaborate to produce some result for our society, we rather try to compete. You understand it?
Yes.
I think it's about time for us to work together as one people to build this continent, right? We really
yes.
have to unite to build the continent, to build our communities. But I will not say you should try to be like everyone else. This is my advice to the young people. If you are not different, you can never make any real difference in your generation. You need to be different to make a difference in your generation. Because if you keep following the crowd, you can't expect to earn the crown that is reserved for the exceptional.
That's
you always
true.
Need to be different. You see, when everybody around you is lying down in a pool of mediocrity, you always need to do your best to sit up. When you realize that everybody around you is now sitting up, you still need to challenge yourself to stand up. When
yes.
you realize that everybody around you is now standing up, still challenge yourself to stand out. When you realize that everybody is now standing out, make sure to challenge yourself, to put yourself, to motivate yourself, to provoke yourself, to be outstanding.
Exactly.
Always there to be different. Always there to be different. You see, there are so many people in our world today who are trying so hard to fit in that they have no time to even stand out, Nadine.
Yeah.
But the question is, are you one of them? Nadine, I know you are not one of them. You stand out all the time.
Thank you
that,
so much.
True. Because if you live your life of people's acceptance, you are going to certainly die from their rejection.
Yeah.
A young person listening to me, let me repeat this for you. If you live your life for people's acceptance, you are certainly going to die from their rejection. Always there to be different. And this is one more thing I want to add to it. This year, even though we are just getting to the middle of the year, if you have not done anything, I just want to encourage you to dare to be disciplined and more organized than you have ever been before. Be more disciplined and more organized than you have ever been before. Because if you are not disciplined, you can never attract disciples to follow your example in life.
Yes.
And if you are not organized, you will never be recognized for anything in your generation. So this is my encouragement to you. Be more disciplined this year and be more organized and dare to be different to make a difference in your generation.
Thank you so, so much, Cisco. It was an honor to have this discussion with you. I know even going over this, I'm going to learn a lot. So thank you so much for the opportunity to join us on today's episode.
Thank you, Nadine.
I would just end this by saying, as you heard from Cisco, it's important for us young people to network and connect and get to know people now that we still have the opportunity to. So if you would love to do that, you can go to www.baobabplatform.org. On Baobab, you get to connect with other like-minded Africans that are passionate about creating change. Thank you again for tuning into this episode. You can also feel free to follow us on Instagram at Baobab Platform. Thank you. Until next time. Bye.